Okay, we're on. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Uptown Rundown podcast. My name is Norris, and we are here today. And in this podcast, we discuss a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to discuss politics, mostly politics, because that's what I like. We talk about religious nonsense, and, you know, we talk about mess, too. Talk about gossip. But today, we're going to talk about Texas. Texas is in a friggin' nightmare. It is atrocious right now, and no one is really doing anything to help. So let's preface this whole conversation first by saying, you know how no one really has favorable views of politicians? You know how no one really is like, oh yeah, you know, this person is one of my favorite people. You never hear that. You never hear someone be like, oh, I really like this person. You only hear people who like politicians. Typically, they are from somewhere else. These politicians just happen to be from somewhere else, because unfortunately, the people that run in your own vicinity all suck. So, and then, you know, there's only a few. Out of all the politicians, people probably only like maybe five of them. You know what I mean? And also, you know how politicians have a way of speaking about people in a very derogatory manner. let's keep those two things in mind today. The fact that nobody likes politicians, and these politicians know that nobody likes them. They know that no one likes them. And let's also keep in mind the fact that that politicians talk to us crazy. The fact that they talk to us like we're stupid. They talk to us like we are, you know, like we just really don't know anything. But anyway, so Texas recently had a winter storm. I think it was from around the 10th of February until around the 17th or so. They had really the worst winter, the worst snowstorm ever. The worst snowstorm that they've ever had. So much so that how many people don't have power? Basically, the whole people in the whole state, like, and I'm talking in the tens of millions of people have no power. They have no power, they have no electricity, they have no heat. A lot of them have no water because either their pipes have frozen, their pipes have burst. So it's like, okay, we got a huge crisis here. Everyone's been talking about how could we have prevented this? How could we have prevented this? You know, when you get the weather report, do you believe it in its entirety? Us up here in the north, when we hear about a snowstorm, we're like, oh great, you know, we might get a few extra loaves of bread, we might get a few extra, you know, we might get a tub of salt to throw out on the sidewalk, we might do that, because we're used to it. Texas, not so much. And another thing that I think we Northerners take for granted is the fact that we have a socialized electricity grid. This is a big part of today's conversation and a big part of what Texas legislators are doing right now. So wherever you live in the United States, and I'm not talking about Alaska or Hawaii because I don't know what they do, but over here, you know, in the contiguous United States, the 48 states over here, we all have a electrical grid that will come into play if, for whatever reason, our local electricity sources give out. So, if you're in New York, you have, what are they called in New York? Oh, God. I lived in New York for so long and I forgot what the electricity people are called. Not Spectrum. Why do I want to say Spectrum? That's cable. What are they called, you guys? I guess it doesn't really matter. Con Edison. Oh, goodness. So in New York, you have Con Edison. They will provide you your electricity. In Philly, where I live now, we have this thing, this company called PECO, which stands for something, I don't know what. But if they were to give out we have the Eastern Grid. Whatever that Eastern Grid is actually called is unimportant. It is an Eastern Grid for the Eastern states. It extends from Florida up to Maine and some other states a little bit more west. So that's what we have. And then in the West, you have the Western Grid. So whatever the weirdos in California use for their local electricity, if that were to give out, you got the Western Grid. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, what does Texas have? Funny you should ask. Funny you should ask. Texas. So, in the 90s, there was this big talk about, you know, the socialization of electricity and natural resources that we use to heat our homes, to light. It's ridiculous. So, Texas, you know, they've been voting red for a long time. You know, they've been voting Republican for forever. So, Republicans do as Republicans do. Conservatives do as conservatives do. They want to separate themselves from everybody else. So, they don't want to adhere to the strict guidelines set forth by the federal government. So, they said, we're not going to take part in your East-West electricity grid. We're going to do it ourselves. They decided to do it themselves. And thus, we have what is called the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. Or, for short, we call it ERCOT. So, ERCOT is what will, is, they are the electricity grid for Texas. Only for Texas. Texas is the only state in the country that does this. Everybody else decides to rely on the national electricity grids of whichever coast they live on, east or west, but not Texas. Texas has their own. And so you would, okay, so fine. Texas wants to do their own thing, yada, yada, yada. I guess no one really cares that much, right? No one cares that much, right? I always feel like nothing's really a problem until it's a problem. And now, it's a big problem. And this isn't the first time that Texas has been in this type of a situation. Not only did they just have a winter storm 2 weeks ago, they had a huge winter storm in 2011 where everything went down, and everything was a hot mess. So much so that they decided to borrow energy from Mexico in order to heat people's homes, in order to light people's homes. How funny. How funny that Texas always has the most to say when it comes to Mexico, but you don't have a problem using their electricity, right? You don't have a problem using their heat, right? You don't have a problem using their lights, right? It's like, okay, Texas, I mean, it's like Mexico sucks. Mexico sucks when it comes to everything except when we need them. When we need them, Mexico is there. How convenient. And that brings us to our first point of the day is Ted Cruz, one of the state senators for the state of Texas. Ted Cruz, he's been around for a long time. We all know who Ted Cruz is. And what I just said, how funny that Mexico is, you know, trash. It's where all the gangs are. Let the Republicans tell it. How funny that Texas is, that Mexico is all these horrible things until we need them, right? Because so Ted Cruz, in the midst of all this chaos, what was it? Two days in? 2 days into the snowstorm? 2 days into the crisis? Someone, and I need to know who did this. Someone took photos of Ted Cruz and his family at the airport on their way to Cancun in Mexico. I need to know who saw him and who whipped out their phone to do this. I need to know who did this immediately because they need something. They need recognition. So these images are circulating all everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, news sources are running wild with these pictures. And of course, the backlash is swift. The backlash is heavy. And the backlash is warranted too, in my opinion. Why are you going to Mexico? Now, look, I'm not stupid where I think Ted Cruz can do so much to help Texas. Because really, what could he do? You know, he's just a guy. He might be the senator, but he's just a guy. You know what I mean? Like, what is he going to do to help tens of millions of people turn their lights on? What's he going to do? Like, he himself didn't have power. You know what I mean? So it's like, the fact that he went to Mexico, to me, is kind of, like, who cares? To me, it's kind of like a who cares type of thing. Because rich people do what rich people will do, and that is flee a crisis. I mean, you see it. You've seen it with Corona this whole year when the rich people are traveling around to escape Corona and they travel to bring it to somewhere else. You know what I mean? These influencers do it. Politicians have done it. You know, the Democratic politicians have done it, flying all around to who knows where, going to get haircuts when the businesses are supposed to be closed, things like that. Rich people, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're blue, it doesn't matter if you're red. All these politicians look the same. So we got people fleeing one state, fleeing one crisis to go somewhere else. So Ted Cruz decided to do that. And to me, it's kind of like a who cares type of thing. But at the same time, it's not. Because how bad of a look is that? How stupid do you look running away to Mexico, a place where you have nothing good to say about, except when it comes time to escape the fact that you don't got power in your house, except when it comes to the fact that you don't got gas to heat the place. You know what I mean? It's so stupid. And it's not going to look good. It's because no one has power and no one has money to be able to flee these types of problems. No one in Texas has this type of, well, that's not true. The everyday person doesn't have the money to just say, oh, I'm going to go to Cancun. Like, people don't have that kind of money to just be like, yeah, let me go. I know, and I know flights are cheap. I know Spirit is probably doing a $5 round trip, but that's not the point. Don't miss the point, people. Don't miss the point. The point is, it's a bad look. It's a really bad look. So then, all of a sudden, a news report comes out. Ted Cruz is on his way back the same day that he flew down. He's coming back. So Ted Cruz decides to get on Hannity on Fox News and so he decides to say, oh, you know, I was coming right back. I was going to fly them down and come right back. What exactly, really, is that what you were going to do, Ted? Because your wife was there. Like, your wife was also with you. She couldn't have brought your two daughters down to Cancun while you stay in Texas and do, I don't even know what you were going to be able to do. Because, again, he's just a guy. He is just a human. It's not like he's about to go shoveling for coal and throw it in people's fireplaces. I'm sorry. I don't know what you guys think he's going to do, but he wasn't going to do much. But back to the point. So he's on Hannity and he's throwing his daughters under the freaking bus and then flipping it in reverse and running them over again, because I couldn't even tell you how many times he decided to say, oh, we only went to Cancun because my daughter said, oh, can we go somewhere warm? Can we go somewhere warm? And okay, fine. Like, I honestly have no problem with them going to Mexico, because who cares? What was Ted Cruz going to do? But is that what you do? Is that what you do? Like, is that what you do? Do you do it? And then do you throw your daughters under the proverbial bus and blame them for your nonsense? Is that what you do? Do you tell people, oh, yeah, it's my daughter's fault. It's my daughter's fault. That's why I went. And then he's all like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to be a good dad. Send your wife to go! You're a politician. You know the optics. The optics, it looks real crazy. It looks real crazy when you're sitting high in your ivory tower and looking down amongst all of us peasants and you say, I'm going to fly away to a tropical vacation, and all of you are just going to freeze. All of you are just going to have to sit in the darkness. All of you are going to have to freeze to death. So, you know, it looks stupid. It looks stupid on his end. Looks real dumb. So, next. What's the next part of this Texas mess? let me see. I got a few articles up here that I read through. Oh, so let's talk about how we have the governor of Texas. We got Greg Abbott. So he is on Hannity as well, right? Was he on Hannity? I don't have that up, but I watched it. He's on Fox News. He's talking to someone on Fox News. Yeah, he's talking to Hannity, and he says, what does he say? He's saying that Texas gets, 20, I'm sorry, you guys. This is Ted Cruz talking on Fox News, who says that Texas gets around 25%, 25, 26% of their energy from renewable sources. So we're talking wind turbines, we're talking solar panels. Ted Cruz says that they get around 25, 26% from renewable sources. Okay, fine. So then how come you got Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick talking to Laura Ingraham and she's saying, because Dan Patrick says, oh, we get like 18, 19% of our energy from renewable sources. And Laura Ingraham is like, well, whoa, because Ted Cruz was just on Hannity. Ted Cruz was just on Fox News saying you get 25%. So which is it? So then Mr. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is like, oh, I'm correct. So how funny that you're looking stupid on your own channel. How stupid that you're looking stupid because Laura Ingraham, who is, you know, a conservative, you know, she's horrible, but like how stupid that you're looking dumb on your own channel. I could expect that if you were interviewing with Rachel Maddow or like someone on MSNBC, but on Fox News, I thought you guys were all in cahoots over there. Maybe not. And then to make matters even worse for these people who are in charge, you got Greg Abbott saying, Greg Abbott, the governor, saying that they get 8-9% of their energy from renewable sources. So we got someone saying you get 25%. We got someone else saying that you get 18%, and then you got someone saying you got 8. Now I'm gonna need these people to do a few more table reads before they decide to get up on a nationally syndicated news source and start talking. Like, I'm gonna need them to really get their story straight. Like, cause aren't they reading from a script anyway, right? Aren't they reading from a script anyway? So it's like, what is going on here? What information are these people being fed? That's the question that I have for Mr. Bill Magnus. And who is Bill Magnus? Bill Magnus is the CEO of ERCOT. Remember ERCOT? ERCOT is the people that provide the electricity grid for Texas. Remember, if your local power goes off, if that company is like, oops, sorry, then you have your electrical grid to sort of act as a backup, right? Texas decided to get their own, called ERCOT. So why is their CEO, Mr. Bill Magnus, not giving Texas elected officials the same information? What's really going on here? So, and you know, the lawsuits are coming. You guys, the lawsuits are really coming because ERCOT has a lot to answer for. You have a lot to answer for, ERCOT, because, and again, remember when I said that these people will talk to us like we are stupid? They will literally talk to us and say something. Who is texting me right now? I'm sorry, you guys. Someone so random Anyway. So what was I saying, you guys? So again, these politicians, these people in power will talk to us like we're stupid. They will say one thing to our faces and then say something else the next day that is completely contradictory and be like, I don't know why you are so surprised that I'm saying this, because they think we're stupid. So in 2011, remember how I said in 2011, Texas had a horrible storm? It's not lost on me that the same people that were in charge of ERCOT are the same people that are in charge now. The same people are in charge. And what have they learned? What have they learned? Nothing. But what have we learned in the last 10 years related to these people involved in ERCOT? What have we learned? We've learned that they do not care. That's what we have learned. They told Texas in 2011 that they are going to quote-unquote winterize. So what does that mean? I guess that that's a made-up word, clearly. I guess it means that they're going to, you know, beef up their whatever they gotta do in order to be prepared for if this happens again, which it will happen again because no one believes in climate change. And here we are, we got Texas with lowest of lows in terms of temperature. So it's like, it's not lost on me that these are the same people talking about we don't know what happened when this happened 10 years prior and you were still sitting there mouth open. And here you are again, mouth open. It's not lost on me that Ted Cruz is talking to Hannity and saying how it's a great thing that Texas decided to not be involved with a federally regulated electricity board. It's not lost on me that he's saying that it's a good idea, despite the fact that tens of million people have no power, despite the fact that tens of million people have no heat. It's not lost on me that Ted Cruz is the one saying that it's a great idea when he, in 2012, was one of the people that voted against New York State receiving aid for Hurricane Sandy. It's not lost on me that Ted Cruz is saying, yeah, it's great that we're on our own, despite the fact that no one has means to survive. Am I making sense yet? Am I making sense? I mean, these people aren't making sense, but are you catching my drift? We have experienced this situation before, and the same people who had the most to say about us peasants asking for some help, they are nowhere to be found yet again. These people have been let down yet again. These people have been left out there stranded. So what's next? Let's talk about what the Democrats are doing during this time. The Democrats and the liberals, they are having a field day with this crisis. And it's kind of gross, if you ask me. I think it's kind of gross. You got people all up. And it's not even the politicians that are grossing me out. It's all of you guys that are grossing me out. Talking about, oh, that's what happens when you vote red. That's what happens when you vote Republican. Oh, up here in the North, we experience this all the time. Like, get with the... you guys, really? This is the response that we peasants have for other peasants? Because let's be real, we are all peasants right now in this country, okay? Like, we are all much closer to being homeless than to becoming billionaires. That's just the fact. That's just how it is. So it annoys me when I hear peasants talking about other peasants. And I'm going to refer to us as peasants. I'm sorry. I am. I just am. How annoying is it when people are saying... Now, I, for the life of me, cannot understand why anybody would vote red. I truly cannot. But just because you decide to vote red, that doesn't mean that you deserve to have an unprecedented winter storm come and turn your lights off. That doesn't mean that you deserve to have an unprecedented winter storm come and have you freeze to death. You can't, like, just because you vote red doesn't mean that you deserve to lose everything. Like, lose everything. And I'm talking everything, you guys. People's lives. So, you liberal peasants are truly... I mean, I don't know who's worse. The way that you guys are responding to this crisis on your socials, or the way that Texas and the people that are running Texas are responding to it. I almost want to say, actually, I definitely want to say what's worse is the way that you liberal peasants are talking about it. Because at least the rich people have class solidarity. At least they have that. They will never let another rich person fall to the wayside. They will never allow that to happen. But you guys are so quick to say, oh, you guys are so quick to blame other peasants for their own peasantry. You guys are so quick to blame them for their problems. When in actuality, it's not their fault at all. It's the elected officials' fault. It's the elected officials' fault who in the 90s decided we're going to create ERCOT. It's their fault, the fact that they decided to say we're going to do our own electric grid. It's their fault. The fact that people are voting one way, please, please, like, find a better argument. Like, ew, that's so gross to me. It's like, can we have some class solidarity here? You guys have all this to say when rich people are acting a fool, and you have all this to say. But on the other hand, you have all this positive to say when talking about the fact that Jeff Bezos got richer during the pandemic. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like you have nothing positive to say when a regular person, when a peasant is going through problems, and you have even less to say when a peasant has something to celebrate, but you got all this noise for when rich people get richer. You know what I mean? Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. But let's also talk about what some of these politicians are doing on the Democratic side. Now, again, they're having a field day. You peasants are having a field day too. And Beto O'Rourke in Texas, you know, I mean, I had nothing really for him during the election last year. I was kind of like, what are you doing on the stage? But, you know, here we were anyway. He apparently got a team of 1,000 or so, 2,000 or so, to make like 200,000 calls to people in Texas to see if they had power. That sounds nice, right? That sounds nice, right? And then AOC apparently raised 4 million. I don't know. I see so many different numbers. It was 2 million. Then it was like 1.5 million. And then one day it was 5. Then one day it was 3. Apparently these two decided to raise some couple million dollars. A few measly dollars. Because that's what it actually conflates to when you got a crisis of this magnitude. So again, I'm going to need you liberal peasants to stop lauding these rich liberal politicians, because they're not even really doing a lot either. Raising a few measly dollars, 4 million is measly compared to the problem at hand. 4 million is measly. It is nothing. It is nothing. It is a dent. It is a dent in a much larger problem here. Like, I really don't understand. You guys give so much credit to the bare minimum. AOC, like, you know, she had really no reason to do any of this. And, you know, it is quite nice that she did do this. And, okay, fine. Give it some news coverage, but you guys are, like, you know, jizzing over this fact that she raised 4 little measly million. I'm sorry, 4 million? It really proves to me that you guys really don't know much about much. Because if you think that 4 million is this big old thing, like, wow. What's really wow is the fact that you think that this isn't going to do anything. What's really wow is the fact that you think that this 4 million little measly pennies is going to do anything to help. because we got big problems here in Texas. Big problem. I'm so glad I don't live in Texas, you guys. I am so glad I don't live in Texas. Now, let's talk about Texas on a smaller scale. Let's talk about... We're actually getting to the real disgusting parts of this whole conversation right now, you guys. This is some of the most disgusting parts. So, let's talk about how some people are now dead. Let's talk about how people have died because of this snowstorm. The fact that people knew that the politicians, that Bill Magnus, that he knew that this storm was going to happen. They knew it was going to be bad, but no one did anything. No one did anything different. Like, how disgusting. So let's discuss. I only got one news story of some deaths here, but I've seen a few more. We got two people, including, this is from NBC, it's from Houston. We got two people, including a child, were found dead from carbon monoxide poisoning. So they were using their car to generate heat. Because, again, no one had heat. Because despite having the fact that a weather report was out there saying this is going to be a freaking disaster, no one did anything different. ERCOT didn't do anything different. Bill Magnus didn't do anything different. Ted Cruz, what did he do? Like, did you know what I mean? You know what I mean? No one did anything different. So, Houston officers and firefighters responded to a welfare call to find two adults and two children suffering from carbon monoxide poisoning. A woman and a girl did not survive, while a man and a boy were rushed to the hospital for treatment, and they decided not to release their names. And then we got a disgusting statement. We got a disgusting statement right here. Who is this statement from? It says, initial indications are that a car was running in attached garage to create heat as the power was out. Cars, grills, and generators should not be used in or near a building. This is what the police department said. The Houston police. Oh, wow, Houston police. Thank you for telling us that after people are dead already. Like, honestly, thank you for telling us that now that people are already dead. These people are desperate. They are desperate because you don't know when you're... Imagine being in Texas. It's hot all the time. Hot all the time. Like, the average lowest it gets is like 40s, 50s. They don't get snow like how we do in the north, you guys. Like, I feel like that's something that you disgusting liberal peasants have forgotten about. They don't get snow. You know what I mean? They don't get snow. And when they do, it's definitely not 14, 15, 25 inches. You know what I mean? And snow, I don't know. I think it's because up here in the north, people view snow as like, oh, it's so fun to jump in and make snow angels in. But in the south, in Texas, it's like an anomaly over there. You don't get snow. And when you do, you don't know what to do. You can't drive. These people don't know how to drive in snow. And then you have no power. What do you do? I would love to see some of you liberal peasants with no power, with no heat. What are you gonna do? That's what I wanna know. Got all this noise for people, for other peasants who are just trying to survive, calling them dumb because they're dying from carbon monoxide poisoning because their kids are cold. Calling them dumb because they're using their generators to try to heat their homes. Like, you know, some people thankfully had some generators, but did they know how to use them? No! Because when did the need for use of said generator ever arise? It's never happened. And so you don't know what to do. It's so crazy to me how other peasants have so much negativity for when other peasants are suffering. And you think just because you vote red, you deserve to have all this happen. You guys are gross. So, next. We got people dead. Next, let's talk about a little town in Texas called Colorado City. I'm sorry. I guess it's pronounced Colorado City. I mean, Who named this town? So you got their mayor, Tim Boyd. So let me tell you what Tim Boyd decided to post on his Facebook in response to all of this nonsense going on, in response to the snowstorm, in response to the snowstorm. Where is it? Let me pull it up. I got it right here, you guys. And Tim Boyd is saying that we're taking his words out of context. Please. Even though every news source that I've seen just took a screenshot of his post. What was taken out of context, Tim? We read the whole thing. And I'm going to read it to you guys right now. The full text. Here we go. From Tim Boyd. After however many tens of millions of people have no power, no heat, and that are dead. Here we go. Tim Boyd. No one owes you or your family anything, nor is it the local government's responsibility to support you in trying times like this. Sink or swim. It's your choice. Wow. The city and county, along with power providers or any other service, owes you nothing. In caps, nothing. Imagine. Isn't this crazy, you guys? Here we go. I'm sick and tired of people looking for a damn handout. If you don't have electricity, you step up and come up with a game plan to keep your family warm and safe. If you have no water, you deal with you. Wait, what? If you have no water, you deal without. And think outside of the box to survive and supply water to your family. Wow. If you were sitting at home in the cold because you have no power and are sitting there waiting for someone to come rescue you because your lazy ass... Wait, what? Because your lazy is direct result of your raising. Okay, that's not grammatically correct. He's saying, like, you're lazy because of how you were raised, I guess. Imagine saying that to people who have no... Anyway. Only the strong will survive and the weak will perish. Weak spelled W-E-E-K. Come on, Tim. Come on, Tim! Like, really? Next. This is sadly a product of a socialist government where they feed people to believe that the few work and others will become dependent for handouts. Am I sorry that you have been dealing without electricity and power? Yes. But I'll be damned if I'm going to provide for anyone who is capable of doing it for themselves. We have lost sight of those in need and those that take advantage of the system and mesh it into one group. Bottom line, quit crying and looking for a handout. Get off your ass and take care of your own family. Bottom line, don't be part of a problem, be part of a solution. Imagine telling this to people who have nothing. Who have nothing. So this is the mayor of Colorado City. Now, let me discuss to you guys. Remember when I said that these politicians talk to us crazy? Now, when I first read this mess, I truly was shocked that a politician had the nerve to say anything like this, to talk to his people like this. Now, I would have imagined that this was a city or a town that is mostly of black people. That's what I would have imagined, because this is the type of language that you hear when referring to black people, right? Like, black people are always the ones who are taking a handout, right? They're always the ones that are lazy, right? They're always the ones that are criminals, right? But let's look at the Colorado City Census. So we could only get the census from the year 2000, you guys. We could only get the year 2000. So let's discuss. In the year 2000... the racial makeup of the city was 77% white. Now, I can't imagine that the demographics have changed so much. So I can only imagine that most of the people in this city are still white. And the black population was 5% then. So it's probably not that much different now. Probably a little bit more, right? Probably a little bit more black, probably a little less white now. And then you know, we got some other stuff, but we got 37% Hispanic or Latino. So we got mostly white, and the other half, well, the other quarter is black people and Latinos. So how interesting that you're speaking to a majority white population in this way. In this way. You never hear politicians talk to white people this way. You never hear that. You only hear about handouts when it's referred to black people. When it's students, it's called, a Pell Grant. When it's an old person, it's called Social Security. When it's a rich person, it's called a tax cut. When it's a black person, it's called a handout. So how funny that you're talking to white people in this way in the middle of a crisis, Mr. Tim Boyd. And now let's talk about money. Let's talk about numbers. Let's talk about numbers of this city, of Colorado City, where the median income for a household, by the way, they estimate around 1,646 households in this city. So it's not a big city, you guys. Currently, the population is around 3,857 people. And that population's been on the decline since the 60s, where the population was around 6,457 people. So we lost about half our population in half a century. What is going on in Colorado City, you guys? If you got people like Tim Boyd running this for the last half century, I can understand why no one wants to live there anymore. You're talking to your people like this? Talking to your people like this? So the median income for a household in Colorado City, remember, this is from the year 2000, you guys, 22,842. 22, so $23,000 is the median income for a household. Wow. So males had a median income of 22,272 versus for females, $20,037. So what does that mean? That means that if a household income is about 23,000 and males and females have an income of about 23,000, that means you got one person working in the house. That means you got one income in the house. They talk about some per capita income, but we're not talking about that because per capita income is stupid. And median, and if you need to know why, then you need to go take a macroeconomics class. But we're talking about median income here. So you got the median income matching the income of an average male. You got the median income of a household matching an average female's income. Meanwhile, most of these households, 50%, were married couples living together. And the average household size is 3.12. So most people got a kid at home with two parents, of which one is working. So this is who the population of Colorado City is. And this is the manner that they are being spoken to by their elected mayor. Imagine that. I could imagine. You know, remember when George Bush had all this to say about the Katrina victims, especially in New Orleans, who were mostly black, the victims who were mostly black, the people whose homes were literally carried off by the waves, by the homeowners who lost their homes, these homeowners who were mostly black, the people who were sitting on top of boards, who were sitting on top of roofs, who were black? I am not surprised when a George Bush has disparaging words for people who are mostly black. But I am quite surprised when you got a white mayor who has all these disparaging words for his mostly white city. Imagine that. Imagine how a whole crisis will really change the way you are spoken to by rich people, by your elected officials. So lastly, we got another post from Mr. Tim Boyd. So the same day that Tim Boyd posted that first response, the same day that Tim Boyd posted that first Facebook status, he quit. He quit. And as of now, 2 weeks later, Colorado City, who was their mayor? No one. No one's their mayor. I wonder who's going to take over. But anyway, let's read the second post from Mr. Tim Boyd. He says, "All, I have sat back and watched all this escalating and have tried to keep my mouth shut. I won't deny for 1 minute what I said in my post this morning. Believe me when I say that many things I said were taken out of context, and some of which were said without putting much thought into it. I would never want to hurt the elderly or anyone that is in true need of help to be left to fend for themselves." Side note, didn't he just say, get off your ass and fend for yourself? Didn't he just say that? Next, he says, "I was only making the statement that those folks who are too lazy to get up and fend for themselves but are capable should not be dealt a handout." Tim, I want to know who you think should be given a handout and who shouldn't be. Who should be given a handout when no one has power? When people are so desperate that they're heating cars up and trying to stay warm in their homes that way? Tim, I need you to answer that for me. Next. "I had already turned in my resignation and had not signed up to run for mayor again on the deadline. That was February the 12th. I spoke some of this out of the anger that the city and county was catching for situations that were out of their control. Please understand that if I had to do it over again, I would have just kept my words to myself." You see, Tim, that's what you should, really. You know what? Who is it, his advisors? Who was advising Tim? He put this on Facebook, so clearly he didn't. He probably did this with no one knowing. No one talks like this when they're in the light, right? When you're in the light, you don't really say stuff like this, but So next. Next is kind of funny, actually. So Tim decides to get up there and continue. He says, "The anger and harassment you have caused my wife and family is so undeserved." So, you guys, it's your fault. It is your fault that Tim and his wife are experiencing hardship. Imagine that! Imagine having no power, no lights, no nothing, and you're the cause of your mayor's suffering. Imagine! Tim goes on to say, "My wife was laid off of her job based off the association people gave her and the business she worked for. She's a very good person and was only defending me. But her to have to get fired from her job over things I said out of context is so horrible. I admit, there are things that are said all the time that I don't agree with. But I would never harass you or your family to the point that they would lose their livelihood." There, T-H-E-R-E. Come on, Tim! We already established that Tim gotta go back to school, but Next, he says, "I ask that you each..." Who's each? I don't know. "I ask that you each understand I never meant to speak for the city of Colorado City or Mitchell County. I was speaking as a citizen, as I am not the mayor anymore." So now he's trying to backtrack and say that he wrote his first statement after he quit? Is that what he's trying to say? Because that's not how it happened. That's not what happened. That post was up before that resignation came through. Come on, Tim! We're not as dumb as you think we are. We're really not. He says that, I apologize for the wording and ask that you please not harass myself or my family anymore. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, you guys, that's what's going on in Texas. That's what's been going on for the last 2 weeks. And it's really been garbage. It's really been trash. It's really been bad. I feel really bad for these people because, again, just because you vote red doesn't mean that you deserve to have no power. And the people that are suffering the most are regular people, peasants, people like me and you. These are the people who are suffering the most. And, you know, I have no negative things to say about them. Like, yeah, you know, it sucks that you voted red, but I don't think that if you voted blue, that it would magically make everything better. I mean, we just voted Joe Biden into office, and he's already acting crazy. I'll talk about that some other time. But, you know, just because you don't vote blue doesn't mean that things should be a disaster. Just because you don't vote blue doesn't mean that you should have no power when a crisis happens. I just hope that these people, you know, we got a whole lot of lawsuits for ERCOT coming. ERCOT has a lot of problems coming, and I cannot wait. That's who I want to suffer. I want ERCOT to suffer. And that's who you guys should want to suffer too. But meanwhile, you guys got all this mess to say about poor people. And how funny that the people of ERCOT, the people who are really in charge, none of them even live in Texas. You got one person, Sally Talberg, who lives in Michigan. You got Vice Chair Peter Crampton, who lives in California. You got Vanessa Parra, who lives in Canada. Doesn't even live in the frickin' country. So it's like, you got people who are making these decisions in a place that they do not live. We have lots of problems in Texas, and blaming the poor people isn't going to get them solved. We got lots of problems in Texas, and ERCOT is about to deal with those problems. And I truly hope that they suffer. I hope they lose everything. Honestly, I hope ERCOT loses everything. Everything. Because not only did this happen 2 weeks ago, this happened 10 years ago. You didn't hold through on your promise, Bill Magnus. You didn't winterize like how you said you were going to, Bill Magnus. You didn't do what you said you were going to do, and now you gotta go. Now you gotta go. It's just a disaster. So, that is the end of today's episode. This thing says 60 minutes is the time, and I'm about to be there, so let me get off here now and drink some water, because my throat is ready for some lubrication, you guys. So, again, thank you for listening to the Uptown Rundown podcast. My name is Norris, and I will be back later for more news. Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.